Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have another one of America's favorite couples, Ozzie and Harriet. They already made a big splash on the Red Skelton show. So when Red was drafted, Ozzie Nelson developed his own sitcom. This is one of the early shows, and I know you'll enjoy the Nelsons' trademark entertainment as they toss song lyrics back and forth, bantering with each other in a musical interlude. In this episode, Ozzie takes Harriet out to a glamorous nightclub for research. It's the earliest Ozzie and Harriet that has been preserved, and you'll enjoy the contrast with their baby boom television sitcom. Enjoy The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, Glamour Contest, first broadcast November 19th, 1944 on CBS. This is an AFRS rebroadcast.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring young America's favorite couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Let's look in at the Nelson home. It's 8 p.m. Dinner is over, and the head of the house is sitting in the living room. Ozzie is right there beside her.
You know, Harriet, out of the whole 20th time when I feel the laziest, right after dinner, best time of all to just relax and read a little.
Think you got something there, Ozzie.
Let's see what I'll read tonight. H.G. Wells' Outline of History? No. Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire? Now, what's that right over there, dear?
This one on the table?
Yeah.
It's the November issue of Super Movie Magazine.
I think I'll browse through that a while. Gosh, you know, these magazines are all the same. Now, just look at pages 4, 5, and 6. Nothing but photographs of movie stars kissing each other.
I wonder if they don't ever get tired of that.
I guess not. It says continued on page 103.
Say, there's some interesting articles this month, though. That's a romance and glamour issue.
Mm-hmm. Just glancing through it here, the glamour department doesn't seem to be doing so well this month.
Oh, really?
Now, just listen to this. Gwendolyn Latour, pictured here at the Brown Derby with Garvin Peterson, is going to marry Cedric Parker as soon as she is divorced from her present husband, Horace Seabrook.
Gosh.
But this probably won't be until June, says Mr. Seabrook's fiancée, Peggy Travers, because her husband won't let her go to Reno until she breaks her engagement to Talbot Dillon.
Well, it certainly sounds complicated.
It sure does. I think I'll just stick to you.
Oh, gee, thanks, kid.
Now, I frankly admit some of the most miserable days of my life were spent as a bachelor.
Oh, you're just saying that so I'll bake a chocolate cake.
No, I'm not. I really mean it.
What didn't you like about being a bachelor?
Well, I had to sew my own buttons on, darn my own socks, wash out my own shirt, and eat dinner alone.
But things are different now.
Yeah, I don't have to eat dinner alone anymore.
You know, it sounds kind of silly now, thinking of you as a bachelor.
Yeah, I remember at that time I used my middle name, George. Did you know that?
Well, of course. Don't you remember the first ring you gave me? The inscription you had on it?
Yeah, I don't think I do.
Well, I'll never forget it. I thought at first you were telling me where to go. It said G to H.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
You know, I'm glad you went back to the name Ozzie, though. It fits you better. George sounds too formal for you.
It's a nice name, though.
Oh, I like it. Some of my favorite people are named George, but for you, oh, I like an unusual name better. And, oh, I don't know. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is named George.
You know, sometimes I wonder if they really expect people to believe some of this stuff here in these magazines.
Like what?
Now, just listen to this. Did you know that Ernie Pagano, the famous movie producer, has 3 swimming pools, hot, cold, and 7-Up?
There was something I wanted to tell you. It says in that issue that Throckmorton Hamilton and his wife have split up.
Oh, that's too bad.
Mm-hmm. He seemed like an ideal husband.
Well, I don't think I'd go that far.
What makes you say that?
Well, now, for one thing, he absolutely refused to buy his wife a mink coat.
Well, darling, I don't have a mink coat either.
Yeah, but he came right out and said no instead of promising her one and then not getting it for her like a gentleman.
You know, people talk about glamour and picture stars. I wonder if they'll ever recapture the glamour of old Hollywood of the silent days. Clara Bow and Theda Bella and Francis X. Bushman.
Yeah, Hollywood must have been interesting back in those old days. Yet in some ways, it was like a big country town.
Mm-hmm. I understand that not so many years ago, they used to pick lemons on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Where did we meet, Ozzy?
Now, you know very well where we met. Stop trying to tear down my romantic appeal.
Oh, Ozzy Nelson, every time you read a movie magazine, you picture yourself as a glamour boy, don't you? Well, don't you?
Yay.
Oh, brother.
Come with me to the Roseland Ballroom.
What's the matter with the Palladium?
It's cheaper at the Roseland Ballroom.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Mrs. Parkington, you are beautiful. Kiss me.
Oh, but suppose Mr. Parkington arrives home suddenly.
Don't worry about Mr. Parkington, Mrs. Parkington.
Why not? Where's he?
With Mrs. Skeffington.
Silly. That's enough now. You've had your fun.
Well, I did pretty well, didn't I? What do you think of me as the great lover?
Well, of course, dear. Being your wife, I'm naturally a little prejudiced.
Oh, yes, of course, but... Wait a minute now, maybe I'd better think that one over a little.
Oh, say, before you put down that magazine, look at that back page. There's a contest there that might interest you.
The back page?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Have you ever been offered a penny for your thoughts? If you have, then it's time you stop thinking so cheap. Turn your imagination into real money. You may have a gold mine hidden in your head.
Well, that sounds easy enough. You just take your hat off and discover a hidden fortune.
Say, wait a minute. You think you're kidding. You've given me an idea.
Oh, no.
By golly, I've always figured that's how I'd make my second million as a writer.
Your second million?
Yes, I've given up hopes for the first million long ago. It says, if you think you have literary talent, why not prove it to yourself and us by sitting down tonight and writing a 600-word essay on glamour?
Go on.
Tell us in your own words what glamour is. What it means, what part it plays in our current pattern of life.
Oh, don't tell me you're really going to enter that contest.
I certainly am. All you need to win is a pencil and a paper and some brains. I can get the pencil and paper at the Owl drugstore.
What about the brains?
Sears and Roebuck?
Honest, Ozzy, sometimes I think you're crazy.
Well, go ahead, call me crazy. They said Edison was crazy. They said Robert Fulton was crazy. They said Joe Cackalatch was crazy.
Who's Joe Cackalatch?
He's my uncle. He was crazy.
Ozzy, are you really serious about entering that contest?
Well, certainly. I have a tremendous advantage living here in Hollywood.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, we get a chance to see glamour at first hand here.
Oh, are you kidding? We haven't even been to a drive-in for 3 weeks, and I don't know when we went to a nightclub last.
Gee, that's right, isn't it?
But you've given me an idea. I could be ready in 15 minutes.
Ready?
Well, sure. In order to write about glamour, you have to study it at first hand. And what spot in the world is more glamorous than the Tacoma nightclub right here in Hollywood, huh?
Well, I hate to admit it, but I think you got something there. And if I win third prize of $200, we ought to break even on the night.
Yeah. Third prize is $200. What are the others?
Well, it says second prize is $500. The first prize is to be announced later, probably about $1,000.
Well, we'd better tell Gloria we won't have dinner at home. Oh, gee. I hope she won't mind staying home alone with the children. Oh, Gloria! Gloria!
Did you call me, Mrs. Nelson?
Gloria, we're going to the Tracombo Cafe tonight.
Oh, that's nice.
You don't happen to have a date this evening, do you?
Well, nothing important.
Do you think it'd be possible for you to break it?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nelson. I'd break the date any time to go to the Tracombo.
You don't understand, Gloria.
No, you see, I'm taking Mrs. Nelson.
Yes, it's better that way. It wouldn't look right for you and me to go there alone.
What we mean is, would you stay home with the children?
Oh, home. Well, I'll do it.
Thanks, Gloria. We hate to ask you to do this, but Mr. Nelson's writing an article about glamour, and he wants to get a little first-hand information.
Well, I'd be happy to help out any way I can.
Oh, well, thank you, Gloria. I didn't realize you were interested in glamour.
Oh, yes. Some of my friends call me the Maria Montez of the Union Stockyard.
Well, Gloria, we'll have to be going soon.
That's all right. Go right ahead. Have a good time. And if you see Van Johnson...
Yes?
Just give him this message from me.
What message?
Awoo! That's all.
Oh, and Gloria, remember, if you want us, we'll be at the Tocombo nightclub. And while we're gone, looking at the children every once in a while. Oh, and be sure the doors are locked.
Roger.
Ozzie, where in the world did she get that Roger from? It's strictly G.I., isn't it?
Yeah, I taught it to. I was an M.P. in the last war, you know.
Ozzie Nelson, you were a Boy Scout in the last war and you know it.
That's what I said, M.P. Mouse Patrol.
Why don't you phone for a taxi cab while I go upstairs and get dressed?
Okay, let's see now. What's the phone number, the taxi? Oh, yes. Taxis are sure hard to get these days.
Would you please place your call again, sir?
Oh, all right.
Oh, that's a good job getting dressed.
Quick, I didn't even get a cab yet.
How do I look?
You look wonderful, as usual.
Little Ricky here just paid his mother a very nice compliment. He said I look sharp as a tack. That's pretty good for 4 years old, isn't it? It
sure is. Glad I have my best suit on tonight, too. How does your old man look, Ricky? I said, how do I look, Ricky?
Sharp as a marble, Dad.
We just got to get that kid's tonsils taken out. Oh, well, let's go, Harriet. Let's look over the glamour.
Sweet words, if they're not true, don't tear my heart like it was paper, because my heart loves only you.
You can't throw around sweethearting others and then pretend that I'm yours exclusively. Love must be true, mean what you're saying, unless you do. Don't sweetheart me.
That's how the song was originally written. And then the Torch Singers took it over and developed it into everything but Don't Sweetheart Me.
Don't sweetheart me, because you're mean to me. Why must you be mean to me? You know you're just my bill, and you know you always will, for I'll be loving you always. That's why I say, music, maestro, please, don't sweetheart me.
Then there's the extra word man. He really butchers it up with added words like this.
I don't sweetheart me, oh honey baby, if you do, you'll soon be sorry. I know what to do to you, and if you do, then you'll regret it, wait and see. Don't sweetheart me, and don't forget it. Ah, sweet, you heard me say it, heart, or I'll repay it, me. And then then the dance bands take over the melody and write their super special arrangements and we hear... Don't sweetheart me.
Ozzie and Harriet at the Combo Cafe, where Ozzie expects to get some ideas on glamour in the hope of winning the magazine contest he's going to enter. Their taxi is just pulling up in front of the door.
This is it, Tucumbo Cafe.
Okay, thank you, miss. How do you like driving a taxi cab?
Oh, fine, thanks. It sort of runs in our family. My two sisters are cab drivers. My mother drives a cab, and my father drives a cab.
Your father drives a cab, too, hey?
Yeah. He wears the wig, of course.
Of course.
That'll be $1.35.
All right, here you are. And here's a tip for you.
Oh, thanks. That money will come in very handy. I'm buying my grandmother a pair of eyeglasses. She's 80 years old, you know.
Really? 80 years old? Well, it's about time she had a pair of glasses. She needs them, doesn't she?
I'll say. It's a tough job driving them Greyhound buses.
Well, here it is, the exclusive and popular Tricombo.
She looks pretty from the outside. I hope we can get a good table.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh, yes, sir. How many, please?
Table for two, please.
Well, let's see. I can give you number 19. It's a nice little secluded table behind that potted palm.
Well, you can give us a table right out in the open. This is my wife.
Oh. Very good, sir. Tyrone, show this lady and gentleman to number 58.
No, number 58? Yes, sir. Step right this way, please.
Goodness, how much further back are you taking us?
Just keep following me, please.
Hey, this is quite a walk.
I'm sorry, but we're very crowded tonight.
Oh. Where's our table? In North Hollywood?
Oh, hello, Dorothy.
Will I see you later?
You might be able to. You can borrow a telescope.
Well, here's your table.
Goodness. What direction is the dance floor?
Just directly south, southeast. In fact, on a clear night, you can see the orchestra quite plain from here.
May we have a menu, please, Tyrone?
No, I'm so sorry. I forgot to bring a menu with me.
Well, can't you go and get us one?
Again, I'm so sorry. I only make this trip once a night. I ain't as young as I used to be, you know.
Yes, it is quite a hike to where we came from.
Well, never mind. Just bring us a couple of ham sandwiches and some coffee.
Yes, sir, yes. Now, let me see. Which way is the kitchen? Oh, yes, this way.
Well, darling, I guess you haven't thought of anything for the magazine contest yet, have you?
Well, how can you find out anything about glamour when they put you at an isolated table way back here?
It's isolated, all right.
I'll have to admit, though, it's a beautiful nightclub.
Yes, it is. Look at those decorations they have painted on the wall. Don't you think they're kind of risque?
Gosh, naked beer glasses.
Cigar, cigarette, split guns.
Split guns? In a nightclub? Why, that's silly.
You think so? Wait till you see the floor show. Cigar, cigarette.
Do you see any movie stars, Harriet?
No, I don't.
Of course, this isn't exactly a ringside table.
Happy New Year! How you doing, baby?
I guess I'm doing all right, thank you.
Well, how about a dance, baby? Come on, let's give me a dance.
Look, I don't think I'd be very much...
Just a moment. I happen to be this lady's husband.
Well, so what? He wants to dance with you.
been drinking, haven't you?
I certainly have. What time is it?
Time? Oh, it's just 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock? Oh,
12 o'clock. Oh, thank you very much. Well, goodbye.
Say, just a minute. You're perfectly sober now.
Well, of course. It's against the law to be drunk after 12 o'clock.
Say, Ozzy, I think your watch is fast, dear. It's only 11:55.
11:55? Oh, that's different. Straighten up and fire out.
Oh, boy, what a character. See, I think I hear the orchestra starting. Would you like to dance with your husband?
I'd love to, if you don't think we'd be too conspicuous.
Well, let's chance it.
Oh, I enjoyed dancing with you, Ozzy.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it, too.
Did you get any inspirations on glamour while you were dancing and looking at people?
No, I didn't. I'm beginning to wonder if I know what glamour really is.
Oh, well, don't start worrying about it, making yourself miserable, dear.
Oh, well, pardon me, but would you folks care for anything else?
No, I don't think so. Just give me a check, please. We're leaving now.
All right, let me see. What did you have?
We had two ham sandwiches and a cup of coffee. How much is that?
That'll be $27.45.
Okay, here's the money.
Oh, thank you, sir. Now I can go to the Palladium tomorrow night. Staking up some fire.
Oh, dear, it's too bad the evening had to be such a fizzle, Ozzy.
Yeah, spending all this money and still not finding out what I wanted to.
Oh, pardon me, sir. As you know, I am the head waiter. I am terribly sorry I gave you that bad table. I just found out you're Ozzy Nelson and Harry Tilio.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, no, it isn't. Any young lady as truly glamorous as your wife should always be seated at a ringside table.
Well, gosh, say just a minute. Did you say glamorous?
I certainly did. And furthermore, she's the first person who's been in here in months who really has glamour.
Gee, honey, what a dope I am out trying to discover what glamour is. And all the time, I'm married to it.
Oh, I see.
Gosh, now I know I can win that contest.
Oh, I hope you won't think this as an imposition, but several of our guests wanted to ask if you and your glamorous wife would perhaps sing a song together.
Well, I honestly don't think we know it all the way through. Let's see, together. We stroll the lane.
Oh, no. You misunderstand me. It doesn't have to be together. Sing any song at all.
Oh, I see.
As long as you sing together.
Look, which is Abbott and which is Costello and who's on third?
Now, we'll be happy to sing a song. Really, we'll be very happy to sing a song for you, but there'll be a slight charge.
Oh, that's perfectly all right. How much are you going to charge us?
That'll be $27.45.
Private Butch McHugh from Third Avenue was put into Class 1A. The gang at Duffy's Tavern got a letter from him today. This army life, says he, is okey-doke by me. You guys should see the gal that are building up my morale.
I'm dancing with the mamas with the moolah. They must have drafted me into society. It took a uniform to show the dames my charms. Now you ought to see the babe that I'm holding in my arms. White as Mutt, and there's Phyllis and Tallulah. They take me home for muffins and tea. I used to chauffeur for a guy for $30 a week. And now I'm dancing with his daughter, cheek to cheek. I'm dancing with the mamas, with the moolah. 'Cause the army made a wow-wow out of me.
Are you having a nice
I
time?
I certainly am. Why, I used to pay them Roseland dames a dime a dance. And now I'm having fun for free and with debutantes.
Have you met Gwendolyn and Ethel and Tallulah?
Oh, how do you do?
They'd like to take you home for muffins and tea.
A pleasure, I'm sure. When this is over, oh boy, I'll never have to work.
And those guys used to think that I was just an illiterate character.
I'm dancing with the mamas with the moolah. Cause the army made a wow wow out of me.
Look at me, see, I'm dancing.
Do you realize you've been working all night on that darn contest?
Well, this typewriter is no help. Every time I hit the letter J, it comes out a Y.
Well, honey, don't blame me. You're the yerk who owns the typewriter.
Gee, Harriet, now that I've sent in my entry, I wonder when we're going to hear the results of the contest.
Almost any day now, I expect. Say, you seem pretty confident that you're going to win a prize.
Well, if I said my essay was wonderful, that'd sound conceited. So I'll be modest and just say it's great. Would you like to hear it? I have a copy right here.
I certainly would.
Well, it's called The Girls of the Nation Seek Glorification, or They Clamor for Glamour.
That's a pretty cute title.
Thank you. And the essay starts like this. When we think of glamour, we almost immediately think of sweater girls. And by the way, there are two types of sweaters. Sweaters that look good and sweaters that look like sweaters. I thought I'd make a little joke there.
Well, that's little enough.
Glamour is a magic combination of various elements. On a beautiful woman, it's exotic perfume, lipstick, and personality that makes her tempting. While on a salad, it's Roquefort cheese and Thousand Island dressing.
Oh, I'm sure the women will love that comparison.
Thank you. I thought it was rather clever myself. You see, I go on now, and I explain that whether you're being intrigued by a woman or a salad, the proper dressing plays a very important part. Another little joke.
Yes.
Now, as a matter of fact, however, salad can be very glamorous too, you know.
Well, maybe you're right, but I never heard of a wife suing her husband because he was chasing around with a salad.
And I've got a great ending for the article.
Good.
Well, I wind it up by saying, there are so many glamorous women in America that our nation will soon be known as the FASA Nation.
Another little joke.
Don't you think my composition sounds good?
Oh, it's swell, dear.
Well, aren't you impressed with my writing ability?
Oh, yes, dear, but...
But what?
Well, I wouldn't give up the band for a few days yet.
No, I can't understand why I haven't heard from Super Movie Magazine yet.
Well, darling, for one thing, it takes several days for mail to come from New York all the way out here to California.
I know, but today's the day they're supposed to notify the winners. And I have a strange feeling, Harriet, that I'm going to win that first prize.
I hope so. Adding $1,000 to what we already have in the bank would be pretty nice.
I'll say.
Just imagine, $1,048.
Of course, they didn't announce what the first prize would be, but I'm sure it'll be something like that.
This letter just arrived from New York, Mr. Nelson.
Certainly the contest, sure. Let me have it, Gloria. Harriet, listen to this. Mr. Ozzie Nelson, 1847 Rogers Road, Hollywood, California. Dear sir, we take great pleasure in advising you that the judges of our Glamour Story Contest have selected your contribution as the winning manuscript. You see, Harriet, and you thought I couldn't write.
Oh, it wasn't that, Ozzie. I always figured there was some sort of a catch to that contest.
Oh, gosh, what'll we do with all the money?
Oh, gee, how much did you win?
Let me see. We are hereby notifying you. You have won the first prize. A free trip to Hollywood.
Just what we needed.
Thank you. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have more Ozzy and Harriet. Sadly, most of the episodes of this very popular show were not preserved. Ozzy didn't think it was good for children to work on radio, but by 1949, the whole family was working together with their real sons, David and Ricky, playing themselves, and the show had moved to ABC. In this episode, Ozzy tries to compete with guest star Bing Crosby. Bing's son Lindsay plays himself in this episode. This is The Adventures of Ozzy and Harriet, Bing Crosby Visits, first broadcast December 11th, 1953 on ABC.
Hello? Oh, hello, Mother. Yes, Catherine Thornberry's going to drop by. We're going to do some Christmas shopping. Right after dinner. No, he and Thorny are going to stay home. I don't know, but I sure have dropped enough hints. Well, for one thing, the sign I posted on his shaving mirror, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever, is international sterling.
Of Ozzy and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzy Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Great nation of ours, from the rock-bound coast of Maine to the sunny shores of California, each man has a neighbor. Of course, you can have many neighbors, but there's always one who's your favorite. The neighbor you tell your troubles to, borrow the rake or lawnmower from, play golf or go fishing with. Such a neighbor is Mr. Thornberry, who lives next door to the Nelsons. That's Mr. Thornberry in the Nelson living room, the man sitting in Ozzy's favorite chair. Oh, Ozzy just walked into the room. Looks like he's carrying a pot of coffee.
Here you are, Thorny. I've made another nice, fresh pot for you. Here, let me pour you some.
Hey, just warm up the grounds in the bottom of my cup.
Yeah? You want cream and sugar?
Yes, please, Oz. I'll have about 6 lumps and a half a cup of cream.
Thorny, you're going to kill the taste of the coffee.
It's the humane thing to do, Oz. I hate to say this, old man, but this coffee tastes like cough medicine.
Oh, Thorny, don't be so unpleasant. Let's enjoy ourselves. After all, we don't get rid of... the wives don't go out very often. It's a nice, friendly evening.
Yeah, you're right, Oz. It is nice and comfortable here. That fire's so warm and friendly. Have you seen any good movies lately?
I saw Apartment for Peggy last week.
Uh-huh. Did you like it?
Well, Peggy was cute. I didn't think too much of the apartment, though.
I saw a great picture last night. Really exciting. It was called Man's Struggle for Survival.
Oh, a husband and wife picture?
it was about a French-Canadian woodsman, Pierre Baptiste. Guy didn't even know he was being photographed. Very exciting stuff. Shooting the rapids, big game hunting.
Oh, Thorny, cut it out. How could they photograph a guy doing that stuff without his knowing it?
Yeah. Well, they claimed it was authentic. But come to think of it, for a French-Canadian who had never left the woods, he certainly could tap dance awfully well.
Surprised you're being so gullible, Thorny. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You're absolutely right, Oz. I'm embarrassed. I'm crushed. I'm humiliated. A discredit to the community. I wish I were dead. Give me another cup of your coffee.
I wouldn't take it that hard, old man. Sometimes the thin line between fact and fiction is pretty hard to distinguish.
Yeah, I think you got something there, Oz.
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, if you pick the right subject, practically anybody will get a little careless with the truth. Let me tell you a very interesting little story that happened right here in the living room.
Is this a true story, Oz, or one of your semi-documentaries?
Drop your feet up there, Thorny, and get yourself comfortable. It happened, oh, I'd say it was about a couple of years ago. You know Charlie Miller down at the drugstore? Well, it seems I owed him a dime, and I went into the store to pay him back. Hello, Charlie.
Oh, hi, Mr. Nelson. Say, I'm glad you're here. You can help me with a very big financial problem.
Well, I guess I'm just in time. Here's the dime I owe you.
Oh, no, it isn't that, Mr. Nelson. As a matter of fact, I'd completely forgotten about the dime. It concerns this... don't put it back in your pocket. I'll take it. It concerns this young man here, a stranger in town.
Hmm? Oh, hello there.
Hello.
What do you do, Charlie? Buy a 5-cent Coke and read $10 worth of comic books?
Oh, much more serious. You see, he wants to buy this Junior Magic set. It costs 89 cents, but his entire capital at the moment consists of 80 cents. We have a deficit there of 9 cents.
Hmm, that creates a bit of a problem, doesn't it?
I told him I'd pay it back.
Yeah, I know, but you realize 9 cents is a lot of money. And for 9 cents, you can...
You can weigh yourself 9 times.
I think you can trust him, Charlie. He seems to have an honest face.
Yes, he has. However, I'd have a hard time getting his face in the cash register.
Nevertheless, I see no reason why you two gentlemen can't get together on this. Why not put it on a strictly business basis? Maybe there's something you can give Mr. Miller as security.
What's that?
Oh, something you own that he can keep until the debt is paid.
Oh, well, it's a little cold to go barefooted.
No. I couldn't take your shoes, son. I've got a little boy of my own, and I know why. What size are they?
Maybe you don't know me, Mr. Charlie, but I'll bet you know my father.
No, I don't think I do. Do you know the boy's father, Mr. Nelson?
No, I don't think so. What's your father's name, sonny?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby. Well, name's familiar.
Did you ever hear of the Paramount Pictures?
Oh, sure.
They work for him.
Bing Crosby, you know Mr. Miller.
When the blue of the night meets the goal of the day.
Yeah, that's him. But golly, what's the matter with his voice?
Well, well, so your father's Bing Crosby.
Honest, and their mother's Mrs. Crosby.
Yeah, that follows.
I'll bet you don't know who this gentleman is.
You call him Mr. Nelson.
Oh, that's just because I know him so well. His real name is Admiral Nelson of the British Navy. Fought in the Battle of Trafalgar Square.
Oh, you shouldn't have told him, Charlie.
Where's your uniform?
Oh, I only wear my gold uniform on shipboard. You see, right now I'm on shore leave. Suppose I advance you the necessary 9 cents to complete this transaction, Mr. Crosby.
Golly, thank you, sir. I'll pay you back.
Oh, of course. In fact, while you're in town, I'd like very much to have you bring your father and come on out to the house for dinner tonight.
Oh, that Admiral Nelson's a real sport. He'll eat with anybody.
Thanks very much. I think my father will be glad to come out.
I'll give you the address on this card here, Mr. Crosby. It's 1847 Rogers Road.
You can't miss the house. Probably several gunboats anchored out in front.
What time shall we be there?
Oh, about 6 bells or 6:30 bells.
Gentlemen, my humble establishment has been honored by the presence of two such famous figures. I salute you both.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
There'll always be an England.
There'll always be a Crosby.
When... It's a Bing Crosby.
What?
It's a Bing Crosby.
Well, whatever that is, come on out in the kitchen.
Oh, do you need any help with the dishes?
I could use a little.
Where are the boys?
You're out of luck. They're down at the playground. Grab a towel.
There's the guy right for walking in the kitchen.
Oh, before I forget it, dear, I think you better have a little talk with Ricky.
Oh, what's he been up to now?
I saw his teacher at the PTA meeting today. Seems he's been telling some pretty big whoppers at school.
Oh, well, that's not so unusual at his age. You should have seen a little kid down at the drugstore. He's telling everybody his father's Bing Crosby. He's a cute little guy. I said, come on out to dinner tonight. Bring your father with you. But he stuck right to his story.
Well, maybe he was telling the truth, dear. Bing Crosby's supposed to be in town.
Now, how do you like that? A little boy makes up a story.
Well, I didn't get this from a little boy. Mother phoned a few minutes ago, and she said she was positive she saw Bing Crosby sitting in the lobby of the Harrison Hotel.
Oh, Harriet, how could she tell?
Well, for one thing, he was dressed like Bing Crosby.
Probably just some guy being initiated into a fraternity. Oh, And you know your mother's eyes aren't too good. It could have been a loud slip cover on one of the chairs.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou.
Oh, hello, Emmy. Come on in and sit down.
Oh, I can't sit down. I'm too excited. I'm so thrilled. I've got cold chills running up my spine.
What was that?
Sit down again.
Take it easy, Emmy Lou.
Take it easy? Oh, Mr. Nelson, how can you say that? Evidently, you haven't heard the news. He's here in town, the one, the only Bing Crosby. Not a movie, not a photograph, not a record, but for real, himself in the... I blush when I say it. Flesh.
I hate to disillusion you, Emmy Lou, but Bing Crosby is not in town. It's just a silly rumor that got started.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, I'm sure you're mistaken. I know he's in town. I feel it. I just love Bing Crosby. He's so...
I used to think Rudy Valley was...
Oh, now wait. Harriet, stop dripping that wet dishcloth down my leg.
Well, I hate to rush off, but I simply have to spread the good news.
Emmy, won't you give us just one more little squeal before you go?
Oh, Mr. Nelson,
stop teasing
us. Oh, please, Emmy. Wait. Let me loosen my tie. Now look into my eye. For you, my life, my love, my all. I surrender, dear. It's absolutely fantastic the way a story travels. A little kid in a drugstore makes up a whopper.
Hey, Mom, Pop, Bing Crosby's in town.
He really is, Pop. It's at Hotel Harrison.
Well, here you go again, dear.
Look, boys, I hate to disillusion you, but I can assure you Bing Crosby is not in town.
Well, it seems to me the easiest way to find out would be to phone the hotel.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll phone the hotel. The risk of making myself look ridiculous, I'll prove just how silly this whole thing is.
Hotel Harrison.
Hello. I know this is going to sound peculiar. But I'm trying to convince my wife of something.
All right, put her on. Where shall I say you were last night?
No, nothing like that. Is Bing Crosby there?
Bing Crosby? No, he isn't.
Oh, he isn't. Oh, that's too bad.
He's gone for the day.
You mean he is staying there? He's in town?
Well, certainly. Didn't you know? Well,
of course. I knew he was at the hotel. I just wasn't sure he was in town. Oh, yes.
He and his little boy, Lindsay, checked in this morning. They left about 10 minutes ago.
About 10 minutes ago? Did he say where he was going?
Well, Mr. Crosby is such a funny man. He says such funny things. He said he was going out to have dinner with Admiral Nelson.
In the vine-covered halls of Nelson U at 1847 Rogers Road, Professor Oswald G. Nelson is delivering an account from the vast storehouse of his personal experiences. This one for the purpose of proving that under the proper conditions and given the proper subject, any human being will depart from the truth.
So naturally, Thorny, Harriet found it a little hard to believe that Bing was coming out to our house. Here, let me pour you some more coffee.
Oh, no more, please, Oz. I've had 12 cups. Every time I move, I slosh. Just tell me what happened.
Well, you know how women are. Harriet immediately began to get all excited.
Well, thank goodness I cleaned the house this morning, and there's a roast in the oven for dinner.
Settle down, Harriet. This is Bing Crosby that's coming out, not Clifton Webb or Adolph Manjou. We don't want the house all spick and span. He's a casual, easygoing guy. Dump some tobacco on the rug and get David's BB gun to hang on the wall. Say, I wonder if that old mounted swordfish is still up in the attic. I could put it right over the mantel.
No sign of him yet, Pop.
We can't even watch outside.
Look out, Pop. He's throwing tobacco on that chair.
I know it, David. Here, spread these magazines around the table sort of careless-like.
What's the idea, Pop?
I've just been explaining to your mother there's only one way to make Bing feel at home. That is to mess up the house.
I might add that I don't agree.
Harry, that's the way Bing is.
Gee, Pop, I've seen him in lots of movies, but he doesn't look messy to me.
David, you can't tell anything from a movie.
He's really a mess, huh, Pop?
I wouldn't say he's a mess, Ricky. Not himself. He just looks a mess. I mean, stop. You know what I mean. He's just a relaxed guy. Have you ever noticed he always walks sort of like he's sitting down?
This is ridiculous.
Oh, and another thing. Now, this is very important, boys. Let's not bother him with a lot of questions about Hollywood and motion pictures and movie stars. No questions about Roy Rogers or Gregory Peck. Or Betty Grable, or Jane Russell, or Lana. Of course, if he wants to talk about him, that's different. Oh, and above all, don't ask him to sing. That's like inviting a doctor over and getting free medical advice. He wants to sing, he'll sing, but let's not bother him.
Come on, Dave, let's go outside. May's coming.
What was that, dear?
I just put another rip in my sweatshirt. Make him feel more comfortable.
I wonder what he likes to eat. I'd like to have something special.
There you go again, Harry. Just throw a couple of old pieces of venison on the stove. Wonder where we could get some moose meat.
Do you think he'll mind eating on the dining room table, or should we just sit cross-legged around the incinerator? Oh, now who's at the door?
Yeah, I'll get it.
Harry, Bing Crosby.
You could come, Mr. Crosby. Or should I call you Bing?
Oh, do. By all means. I'll call you Harriet. And I take it you're Admiral Nelson?
Oh, we were having a little joke with Lenny. He's a great little guy. And by the way, where is he?
Oh, we met your two Pinkerton men down the road a piece there, and Lenny joined up with them. They got something going in the vacant lot. Oh, by the way, a funny thing happened to me on the way to your house.
Pardon me, Bing. You get that, Harriet? That smooth, professional way he slides into a gag. What happened, Bing? That's what you call a straight line. I kind of throw that out to him, and then he punches over the kicker. That was marvelous. What happened, Bing?
No, it wasn't a gag. A cute little bobby soxer walked up to me and said, Bing Crosby? I said yes, and she said,
you notice he gets a little horse whinny into the laugh.
Silly, you know.
That was Emmy Lou, I guess. Let me take the overcoat, Bing.
Thanks. But I better warn you, afraid I'm not properly dressed.
Don't be silly, Bing. Feel at home here. Look at me. Don't feel shy about your clothes. Off with that overcoat. Let's have a look at that sloppy shirt and those baggy pants.
That isn't exactly what I'm worried about, Oz. Look, I'm wearing a tuxedo.
Tuxedo?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bing, I always...
It's quite a story. I'm sure you're familiar with Lake Tehachapuco.
Oh, Lake Tehachapuco. Well, sure. We go up there all the time. What about the lake?
I fell in this afternoon. I shot a 1,500-pound moose, and I was carrying it across my shoulders. You know, and I stepped on a slippery rock and fell in with all my clothes on. That's how come the tux.
A 1,500-pound moose? And you carried him?
Well, his back feet were dragging. Lenny, I thought you were out playing with the boys.
We came in to get a drink of water.
Oh, hello, Lenny.
Hello, Admiral.
This is Mrs. Nelson, Lenny.
How do, Your Majesty?
How are you fellas getting along?
Okay, Mom.
Well, Pop, I just heard you telling about a big moose you bagged this afternoon.
Now, go out and play some. The older folks are talking.
Pop!
Out. Tally-ho, boy. Go, boy.
Pop, I was with you all afternoon. I didn't see you shoot any moose.
Lenny,
The only thing you shot was an owl. The only reason you got him, because they can't see in the daytime.
Lenny, boy. Go out and play now. Here's a nickel, a nice shiny one. Your dad just got in a new shipment. Go ahead now.
Hang on, Lenny. Okay, last one out is Bob Hope.
Sorry, folks. I guess the cat's out of the bag.
Oh, you mean about the moose? Oh, forget it, Bing.
No, I want to confess.
Oh, there's no need to confess. We didn't believe you anyway. I mean... What do you think of the story so far, Thorny?
Well, come on, Oz. Don't stop now. What happened next?
Relax, Thorny. When I tell a story, I like to take my time. Here, let me pour you another cup of coffee.
Oh, no, Oz, please.
Okay, no coffee, no story.
Okay, Oz, pour away. I wish I had an almanac. I'd like to know just how high my tide is. Finish the story up.
Well, sir, after dinner, we moved into the living room, and the boys went out to play.
It was very pleasant sitting there talking while Bing smoked his pipe.
Tell us something about your latest picture, Bing.
Don't make him talk shop, Harriet.
It's a little thing Paramount is making.
Bing, you're on a vacation. Why not forget about work? Let's talk about hunting. I understand the ducks are running.
Ozzy, if Bing wants to tell us about the picture he's making, let him tell us.
Well, he just told you, Harriet. It's a picture they're making at Paramount. What more is there to tell?
Well, it's called the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. You know, the...
Yes, dear. Take one out of the kitchen. What were you saying about the picture being...
Harriet, would you please let him forget about his pictures? Have you done much hunting this season, Bing?
Oh, a little now and then. And speaking of hunting, they do quite a bit of it in England, you know. That's the locale of the picture. Has a wonderful cast for Cedric Hardwick and Bill Bendix. And...
When are you going to sing, Mr. Crosby?
Well, just...
Please, David. Now, that's not nice. After all, Harriet, what are you doing?
Oh, good. You going to play for us, Harriet?
I hope this isn't too forward of me, but could I coax you to sing just one little song?
Oh, no, Harriet. Oh, well, if it'll make you happy. How about Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas? I'll do a verse and two choruses. You remember, Harriet, I sing it in the key of G flat.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I meant Bing.
But, Harriet, he doesn't want to sing.
I do so.
You do not.
I do so.
Do not.
So.
Not so. Well, okay, you can sing, but no whistling.
Gee, thanks, Oz. Oh, Harriet, that's my favorite tune. Love it. East is east and the west is west and the wrong one I have chose. Let's go where you keep on wearing those frills and flowers and buttons and bows. Rings and things and buttons and bows. A good left hand, Harry. Don't bury me in this prairie. Take me where the cement grows. Let's move down to some big town where they love a gal by the cut of her clothes. You stand out in your buttons and bows. I love you in buckskin or skirts that you've homespun. But I love you long and strong where your friends don't tote a gun. My bones denounce that buckboard bounce and the cactus hurts my toes. Let's vamoose where the gals keep using those silks and satins and linens that shows. And you're all mine in buttons and bows. Give me eastern trimming where the women are women in high silk hose and peekaboo clothes and French perfume that rocks the room. And you're all mine in buttons and bows.
Wonderful, Bing.
That doesn't break the lease. You folks are in pretty solid.
Hey, what's that crowd out on the front lawn?
Mr. Nelson, sir?
Yes, Lenny?
Here's the 9 cents I owe you.
Well, thank you. That's very prompt payment.
Here's a dollar and a quarter.
Well, what's this for?
Well, we figured it was only fair to give you 10% of the gate receipt.
Well, what's that?
That's what the chairs were for. We charge people 10 cents to hear Mr. Crosby sing.
Well, how did the people know he was here?
We had this sign on the front lawn. Look at it. Isn't it a beauty?
Listen to the golden voice of Bing Crosby at 8 p.m. Speech, 10 cents. Hey, you guys are pretty sharp. It's a very nice lettering on that sign, too. Did you do it, David?
No, sir.
Oh, you did it, Ricky?
No, sir.
Oh, you did it, Lenny?
No, sir.
Well, come on, son. I think it's time we got on. We've had a wonderful time, Ozzy and Harriet. Invite us again real soon, won't you?
Oh, you bet.
We've enjoyed every minute of it. Good night, Bing. Good night, Lenny.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, come on, boys. Way past your bedtime. Let's go.
Okay, come on, Ricky.
You coming upstairs, dear?
I'll be up in a few minutes.
How did you like Bing? Isn't he a wonderful guy?
Oh, yeah, he's a swell guy.
Hurry up, boys.
Not a bad guy, I suppose. Shame he's such an awful ham. Oh, well, I guess that's the way those guys get. Let's see. I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas. You ought to see my Dumas stuff. see, Barney, even Bing Crosby is capable of telling a tall story if you get him on the right subject. That moose story he told was worse than some of yours.
There's just one thing, Oz. When Bing came in, he called you folks Ozzie and Harriet. How did he know your first names?
Well, are you implying I made that story up as I went along?
I don't know, Oz. Did you?
Barney, how can you say that?
How come he knew your name right off?
Well, he remembered it from the first time he was here.
First time?
Barney, you mean to say I've never told you about the first time Bing came to the house? Oh, it's a very interesting story. Here, let me pour you some more coffee.
Bing Crosby appeared through the courtesy of the Philco Company. Lindsay Crosby appeared through the courtesy of his mother. Tune in next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling.
Yes, Harriet, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling. This is Burns Smith.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.